Blog Talk Radio.
That's kind of how the money shook out. It's nothing crazy. It's just if you want something bad enough, you'll find a way, and if not, you'll find an excuse. And that's kind of what I pushed myself to do, is figure out how I was going to do it.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt Free Divas, and I love to talk about all things as they relate to your money. I spent the day yesterday in New York City for a networking event with this group you've heard me talk about before, probably FinCon. FinCon is a community of financial media professionals, so it was great. It was good to listen to speakers, network, connect with some old friends, make some new friends. So I met a lot of interesting folks, some of whom may likely be guests on this podcast in the near future because I heard some great debt-free stories. I'm looking forward to bringing those. However, one update that kind of stood out most had nothing to do with finances or meeting a financial goal, but more to do with health. I was speaking with a gentleman who has lost 80 pounds since I saw him last year. Amazing transformation. In the chit chat, and you guys know I love details, you know I'm curious, air quotes, I asked, you know, I'm like, how did you do it? What was the key to your success? And of course, after giving me like the mechanics, the first thing he said was accountability. And you know, my ears perked up because that is my buzzword. And so I want to help you. I don't want to kick this off finally. It's been in my head for a while. I want to finally kick this off, but I want to help you transform your financial health with that magic sauce, accountability. So head over to debtfreedivas.org/transform to get started. Today's guest also highlighted his brand of accountability that helped him kick butt and dump debt. Phil Risher graduated from college recently with $30,000 in student loan. He is the current author and founder of Young Adult Survival Guide. He got focused and he didn't let those student loans become a permanent fixture. And so his story is for students, it's for parents of students, it's for those who think that they'll never get out of debt because it just can't be done. I'm here to tell you folks that after paying $107,000 of debt myself, debt freedom is definitely possible. So you just might need a little accountability. For links to all resources mentioned in this episode, how a recent grad dumped $30,000 in student loan in 1 year, visit my website, debtfreedivas.org. Well, Phil, thank you for joining us today on the Midday Money Show. I'm really excited to kind of dig into your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Okay, so as we talk about debt, one of the things I love to get into or love to have conversations with people who've been able to pay off, first of all, any kind of debt, period, but especially an amazing amount of debt in an amazing time frame. So let's talk about the numbers first. How much debt were you able to pay off and in what time frame?
I had $30,000 in student loan debt, and I was able to pay it off in 12 months.
In 12 months. So in 1 year, you paid off $30,000. That some people make that much in a year, right?
I know.
That's a salary. So this is crazy. And on top of that, you talk about how you were able to do this making kind of an average salary. So it wasn't like you had an amount saved up or somebody did this for you. You actually worked those 52 weeks and were able to kind of minimize your expenses, and we'll talk about that how, but you were able to do this on your own in 12 months. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about what you majored in. So you were just graduating from college, and your major was what?
I majored in international business.
Okay, you majored in international business, and were you able to find this fantabulous job paying six figures once you graduated from college?
You know, I would love to say yes, but I did not. I didn't plan this out right. I didn't speak a second language, so it didn't really work out for me.
Okay. What did you do?
Yeah, fortunately, I had an internship when I was in college that progressed into a full-time position. So I was a customer service rep, a little bit of sales in there, and it was really great. I was making $48,000, and that's not bad when you're starting out of school.
Not at all.
But I lived in the Washington, D.C. area, so things are pretty expensive around here.
Very expensive. Okay, and so let's talk. Okay, so let's do the math. You're making $48,000. In the first 12 months of your career after college, you were able to eliminate $30,000 in debt. after taxes, you are bringing home $3,000 a month, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How were you able to live on $3,000 a month and eliminate $30,000 in student loan debt in 1 year?
So that's the million-dollar question that people always ask me is, how in the world does this make sense? So pretty much
in D.C., let's reiterate that. In D.C.,
right.
One of the most expensive places to live in the country, but go ahead.
Right. So pretty much what happened was when I grew up, my parents were divorced, and I always lived with my mom. When I got into college, it was just her and I, and then she decided that she was going to get married, which is great. And she moved away about 2 hours away. And so after college, I didn't really have a place to go. My dad was always a part of my life, but I never lived with him. And so I actually reached out to him. He had two younger children, my brothers, and I knew he was getting older. So I kind of gave him a little sales pitch, and I said, hey, you have this great basement apartment room, what have you. I'd love to come stay there, and I'll take care of the kids. I'll be an on-call babysitter. I'll make sure the grass is cut. I'll clean the gutters when you need it. But I can't pay rent for the first year.
Okay.
How's it sound?
Okay.
And so, it was great because he took me in. And the best thing about it was that, so like you said, I was making $3,000 a month. I figured out that for $30,000, if I can pay $2,500 a month on my student loans, then in 12 months I'll be able to pay $30,000. So then I just had to figure out how I was going to live off $500 a month, which – for me, you know, when you're a college student, I just picture myself, okay, $500 a month. When I was in college, I wasn't making that much, so I'm sure I can do this.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I did. When I was in college, I saved up and I bought an old 2000 Saturn with $2,000 cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ran that car out,
mm-hmm.
paid for my gas. I mean, just made it happen. And so that's kind of how the money shook out. It's nothing crazy. It's just if you want something bad enough, you'll find a way. And if not, you'll find an excuse. And that's kind of what I pushed myself to do, is figure out how I was going to do it.
That's phenomenal. Phenomenal in its simplicity. But also, I would have to ask you, when you're in college, you do as the Romans, right? Everybody's broke. However, once you've graduated and you're making a decent salary, you're living with your father, so your expenses are minimal. There has to have been like temptation to kind of just do as the Romans and kind of, you know, live out your expensive, treat yourself. You worked hard in college. You've graduated. You didn't run up a lot of bills. You're responsible. You did this thing. And so was there ever kind of that temptation to like just live and like let it be and enjoy your $3,000 a month? Because you could do some damage entertainment wise on that much, and nobody would really fault you, right? Because again, your expenses are low, you're helping your father, you guys have this great arrangement, and nobody says you have to pay off $30,000 in 1 year. How did you stay committed to that goal?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there's a couple things that I did. The first thing, when I was 16, I bounced my first check and overdrafted my checking account.
Uh-huh.
And my mom, she freaked out. You're going to write a letter to them. You're going to go down and apologize to the bank. And something changed in me. And just like, you know, we never really had much money, not a sob story, but it was when I had the opportunity to change my family tree and do things that are different than what they did. You know, I wanted to take advantage of all the opportunities I had in front of me. And I don't know if it's something that sounds more mature than I should be or something, but for some reason it just stuck with me.
Mm.
What I was able to do was, since I had this goal of paying off my student loans, I set up kind of a daily creed or something to recite to myself every day just to kind of keep everything top of mind. So I drilled down the $2,500 I was spending a month on these student loans. That was $83 a day. So what I would do every day is, why am I going to work today? I'm going to work today to get this $83 to pay these student loans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was my goal every single day, was go to work to get this money to pay these student loans and start knocking things off. Because I had other plans as well. I set up goals for myself. So I wanted to buy my first place with cash.
Mm.
And so this was just the first step to getting out of debt and then now setting up yourself for success. And I think a lot of times when you go through school and life, especially with my age, the millennials,
mm-hmm.
sometimes your parents or society, they set up goals for you that you don't necessarily have the opportunity to set up goals for yourself. You know, you go to school, you get good grades, go to college, to get a good job, and whatever, you know, that means. But sometimes it's good when you can set your own goals. And sometimes I feel like they don't set us up to allow us to do those things. So when I was, when I graduated, yeah, you have all this glit and glamour of I'm a college graduate, I can do this and that. But when you start to set some goals for yourself, then you can start to outline how you want your life to live.
Get your dating at the time, and I assume you have friends that may or may not be on your same journey. Like, how do you relate to those people who are may or may not be doing, you know, they say, oh, we want to go to Cancun for the jazz festival or something like that. And was it challenging to kind of separate yourself from that? Or do you kind of only associate yourself with people who are really kind of focused and like-minded?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I was working, where I worked, it was a lot of people that were the same age as me. We had five or six people in our office, and they were all right around my age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting because when you graduate, you're starting to make all this money, and mm-hmm. people want to go out to eat for lunch. They want to go out on the weekends, which is totally cool. I love eating out. My girlfriend loves eating out too. But what I did was I set myself up every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I would bring my lunch, ham sandwich, and I would read. I would bring a book, and I would go sit at a local park and just read. And then every Friday, it would be Yum Yum Friday for me, where I can eat out and treat myself for the
okay.
week.
Okay.
So the funny thing is, all my coworkers at first are like, this guy, he brings his lunch every day. He drinks a Pepsi every day. What's wrong with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
But then they started to realize that, okay, why is he doing this? They started asking me questions. And then they started to check themselves. And every Friday, I would come into work, they'd be cheering me on, Yum Yum Friday, where are you going today? Where are you going? And it started to be like, you know, this is Phil, and it was just, that's just who I am.
Okay.
As far as like going out on the weekends and having fun, I would definitely do that. But I would always claim myself as the designated driver in those instances. I would just be having fun, you know, dancing
okay.
or happy.
Okay.
You There's know. Always got to be that guy that you invite out, and they would actually give me gas money and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a win-win. You got to set up these win-win situations.
Right. I love it. So, okay, well, let's go back. This is, and I'm a proponent of this, of finding ways to enjoy yourself, enjoy life while you're paying off debt, so it's not like such a chore. So, yes, I'm definitely encouraging, finding the win-win. So if you have to be the designated driver to go out and enjoy life, do that. Now, let's talk about your background, your financial upbringing, if you will. You said you grew up in a situation where there wasn't a lot of money around. You've gone to school, you took out student loans to be able to get yourself through college. What kind of training, if you think back, what kind of training, either in terms of explicit training or either just watching how your parents operated, did you receive in terms of understanding the importance of budgeting, of savings, of setting financial goals? Did that come from your initial training under your parents, or was that something you kind of picked up more in your college experiences?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I mentioned before that I overdrafted my account when I was 16.
Right.
And at the time, my mom, she actually had maybe a month or two after that, she signed us up for Dave Ramsey Financial Peace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so what happened was, you know, I was a teenage kid, but I was working at a restaurant as a server, and I was making okay money. And what happened was that I went to this thing, and he started talking about changing your family tree.
Uh-huh.
And for me, that just resonated so much. Was like, yeah, we didn't have much, but not that big a deal. But now I have the opportunity. I'm right at that stage where I'm about to go to college. I'm starting to make some money. Like, I can really set myself up to do something really good and change my family tree. And so it just stuck with me. Like, I have the CDs, and then it just started going from there. So I listened to Dave Ramsey. I did Financial Peace with my mom. And it stuck with me. And then I started reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki.
Hmm.
And then that one just started snowballing. And then I just got the bug, and I just kept reading it.
And this is starting at 16, you were reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Financial Peace University?
Yeah, 16, I started Financial Peace University, and it took me about the 17. And then I started reading some other things like The Automatic Millionaire, which is a good book. And then it just kept
yes.
growing.
Yes, excellent. Parents, take notes.
That's the key. So my mom, she didn't really know what she was doing at the time, I don't think, but she really set me up good, because she would give me, instead of giving me allowance and things like that, she would give me like a monthly, she would give me like $100.
Uh-huh.
And she would say, okay, I'm going to help you out with some gas here and this and that. And I was working too, but it wasn't the ATM where you just go to her, mom, I need to go out with my friends. It was like, I already gave you $100. You need to figure it out.
That's it. And you just had to work within that. Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think that's very influential for a lot of the parents out there. It's like, don't be the ATM, but, you know, try and set your kids up. Teach them how to budget. If they overdraft their account, make them write a letter or make them apologize to the bank and make them understand what they did.
So let's go back to where you've graduated from college. You've made this arrangement with your father. Mm-hmm. You are living on basically $500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And how old are you at this time? Just so we can kind of gauge that.
Yeah, I graduated college when I was 22. So I was 22. 22 to 23 is when I paid off my debt.
Was your father, was he supportive of this, encouraging? Like, what was the relationship with your dad at this point as you're trying to do this?
Yeah, it was my dad and my stepmom, and they were very encouraging. And my stepmom, she's, you can live here and not pay rent, but you have to show us that you're doing something and you're paying off your student loans. So she would kind of check in with me every couple of months, like, where are you at? What are you doing?
Uh-huh.
And if I wasn't keeping up to the...
Was she checking your statements?
She wasn't going that far.
Oh, okay.
But we would check in and talk, and it was great because it was kind of an accountability thing. But then also, I told them I was going to do this stuff, and they wouldn't just open their basement to someone who's going to come in and freeload.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So it was kind of accountability, and they were all for it. I think now I have the younger brothers that I mentioned before. My one brother, he's going off to college,
mm-hmm.
and they said you can move back in for a year. We don't want you to have any more than $30,000 in student loans. You're going to pay those off in the year. So now he has the blueprint that he has to go into.
You set the bar. And you know what? You know what? So I'm thinking about this because I'm, you know, most of my listeners are well past college. And they're probably thinking, oh, yeah, woulda, shoulda, coulda if I could have moved in with parents. But, you know, now I'm a parent myself, or I have a mortgage or whatever. But let me just share a little story here because you reminded me of something. So my aunt and uncle had a goal of buying two investment properties. Okay, so they had a home, they had children, and what they did, which I to this day still I respect, you know, tremendously the decision that both of them made, is they moved in with my grandmother. And so actually at the time I was living with my grandmother too, because I was going to graduate school. So it was my aunt, uncle, their son, me, another, you know, it was a lot of us. My grandmother did have enough room, but and she lived in a lower income area of Chicago, so it wasn't like we were, you know, living lavishly. But what they did was they moved back in with their mom, with my aunt's mother, of course, for 2 years. They rented their house out.
Okay, mm-hmm.
So they rented their house out for 2 years, and they were able to save up enough to buy two 4-unit investment properties. And this was, they were in their 40s at the time. So I just say that to say, don't just kind of dismiss this experience with Phil because he's a little bit younger. He capitalized on something that he was able to. Parents lived in the same area, whatever. You know, there are, as you say, Phil, if you want something bad enough, there are ways or strategies that you can look at doing to reduce your expenses so that you can make some financial goals or meet some things. And it doesn't just have to be living with parents.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
And it doesn't just have to be for 22-year-olds either. So I think that's an amazing experience, and you know, take, because a lot of us didn't. A lot of us did not take advantage of that. We maximized our income or either lived beyond, which is why we are in debt in the first place. But the key is you sat down. So let's talk about this. You have this kind of 5-step organization plan. You sat
mm-hmm.
down, you looked at what you had coming in, what goals you were trying to achieve, and you kind of came up with this plan. So why don't you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah, so turning around and looking at all the stuff that I did, I guess I didn't really realize how crazy it was. So some of my girlfriend's friends, they're teachers, they reached out to me and, how did you do this? Can you help us do it? And then I started to think about, how did I really do it? Like, what did I even do? So I put together on my blog a 5-step guide. Pretty much the first thing is to set goals. Like I mentioned before, a lot of times you just go into the next phase that society sets up, and you go into that rat race mentality where you just go to work, pay your bills, repeat. And a lot of times we don't set goals. So I would talk to them and say, what is your goals? When do you want to pay these off? 2 years, 3 years, 1 year. Let's set some stuff up. When do you want to move out? So the first step is to set goals.
Can I ask you, so what made you think that you could pay off 30,000 in 1 year? What was it that even had you come up with that goal in the first place? Because as you say, it could have been $1 million, basically.
Yeah, well, first I knew that consumer debt. I didn't want that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I really looked at the numbers and I realized that I have $3,000. Even if I only had to live off $100 a month, I would figure that out. I would figure something. I would take the bus or something. So once I figured that part out, it was good to go. It was game on. Because, once I did that, it kind of unlocked myself to know that I can really do anything that I set my mind to.
Mm-hmm.
I can figure out a way to do it. It sounds crazy, but it's just when you program your mind, which is one of the other steps that I have,
mm-hmm.
it's just day in and day out, you just execute your plan, and that's it. There's no questions about it.
What do you mean program your mind?
So the fourth step that I have is control your mind. So to your point, to stay disciplined every day, not eat out, not go out with your friends, not just run up your credit card bill. Like, that's crazy. How do people do that? And so controlling your mind, I have a daily creed that I say to myself every day that I mentioned before is, you know, I'm blessed to have today. I'm thankful for today. But what am I doing today to get closer to my dreams? Like, what am I doing exactly right now? Why am I making today count? Because today is not promised. Tomorrow's not promised. But today, you have to get closer to your dreams. You can't just go into work and just, I'm just going to be a sloth today. No, you got to do something to get closer to what you want. And so that's what control your mind is all about. Is don't get stuck in the rat race. Don't get stuck in the day-to-day grind. But have a long-term plan that you can execute on every day. Okay, so you have your goals that you set. The second one is don't be normal, because normal is broke. I don't know.
Dave Ramsey.
You know that
Uncle
or not.
Dave, yes.
That's a Dave Ramseyism. A Dave Ramseyism.
Exactly.
So it's don't be normal, because if you want to be like everyone else, do what everyone else does. But if you want to be different, do different things. And so
right. You're
going to come up against some opposition. You're going to come up against people that feel you're weird, feel you're not doing what, you know, people always tell me at work, you live in D.C., there's no way you're going to buy your house with cash. You live here, you do this. I mean, there's always going to be excuses that people make for you. But what they say about negative people is they have a problem for every solution. And so I always try and stay away from negative people. So don't be normal. Be different. Do different things.
Gotcha.
The third thing is crucial. And this is, I actually have a template on my website. Is create a budget. A Dave Ramseyism. But this is, I think, a basic financial principle, is to create a budget. Because when you start to put things out and place things, you start to realize how you can do things, and how much money you have, how much you can save. And then it starts to come into a plan. It's not just a goal. Now you have how you're going to get there.
Okay.
The third thing is a budget. Budget is crucial, because when you start to put things in the specific places, you figure out how much you make, all your expenses, it gives you a plan to get to your goals. So if you want to pay off $30,000 in your budget, you're going to pay $2,500 a month. And then you start to figure out how you're going to do it.
Okay.
So the budget is crucial, though, because one, you don't feel guilty about spending money because you already allocated for it. And two, it gives you a guideline for the week of going in with a game plan on money.
You mentioned four. Four was?
Controlling your mind, coming up with a daily creed. I have a template online for people to set up.
Okay.
And then the last thing is to know your why. And this is one thing that I always ask people. They tell me they want to get out of debt, and I always ask them why. And a lot of times people are going to say, I just don't want debt. I don't like debt. Okay, but why do you want to get out of debt? Do you want to get out of debt so you can travel, so you can live a worry-free life? Or do you want to buy a house with no mortgage? Why do you want to do that? Do you want to save? Why do you want to do that? Because when you have a motivating factor behind it, that's going to help propel you and keep you disciplined every day. It's not just I want to pay off my debt, but I want to pay off my debt so I can live a worry-free life, so I can do what I want to do on my own terms.
You are speaking my language, young man. All right. Can you just talk about if there was any like kind of internal challenge for you, not, or did you feel deprived? Let me put it that way. Did you feel like you were depriving yourself at all during this year? Did you feel like was it a struggle for you to stay committed, or were you pretty like, okay, since I know my why, I'm programming my mind, it just kind of flowed really comfortably?
It just kind of flowed really comfortably.
Okay.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's tough when you come up against and you see your peers, you know, buying a nice apartment or
right.
a new car.
Right.
Like, that stuff is tough. That's just for anyone. And, you know, we're making the same amount and they're living a different life.
Right. Not babysitting on call and.
yeah. But like I said before.
Cleaning gutters and.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said before, if you want something different, you're going to do different things. So it was actually a little affirmation saying like, okay, well, that's the life that they want, but if I do that, then I'm going to be like them. But I want to do my own thing. I don't want to be like them. So it was a little affirmation saying I'm doing the right stuff.
Mm-hmm. And your doing the right stuff actually led to, you kind of mentioned it earlier, so I want to bring it out, that you were able to buy a house for cash in the D.C. area in the next couple of years after you paid off your student loan. So talk about that a little bit before we wrap up.
Yeah, so I had set some goals for myself, and after I paid off my student loans, I really realized that I could do this. What if I run this plan out for another 2 years? At this time, I was making a little more money at work, and so I decided that I was going to run this plan out. I would live a little bit more.
You had more Yum Yum Fridays. Yum Yum Thursday and Friday.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
Oh, Tuesdays and Fridays.
But yeah, I try to do a little bit more. I started coaching my little brother's basketball team, just trying to get out and do some more fun things. Coaching basketball is fun because it's free too. So okay. You can find little free things in there. That's free and fun is the best way to save money.
Oh, yeah.
But so I decided, hey, I'm going to run this plan out for the next 2 years. And at that point, I'll have like $65,000-$70,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then I started reading books on real estate. And, okay, well, how can I find the best deal? What are the things to look for? How can you find something that's people would accept a cash offer for of way below the offer price? And so started reading about that. And then 2 years out, I had $70,000+ and there was a condo for sale, and it was $90,000. And then I just made her an offer of $60,000, and she was a little apprehensive. But once she heard my story, she was actually like, this is great. I'm going to sell it to a young person who's doing the right stuff with their life. And she said, yeah. So.
Okay. Well, tell me about the condo a little bit. Is it, you know, a decent area? Did it need any work? 2 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms?
Yeah, so her mother lived in it, and she passed. And so it's built in the 80s, and so it was nice. It needed some work. It had a carpet. It had the older carpet, bathroom, kitchen, all this stuff. It needed a little updating. But my dad and I, this was great. We painted everything together, and then I got new hardwood floors in because I had about $70,000. So I bought it for $60,000, and then I had a little bit of money to spruce it up a little bit.
Okay.
And then about a couple months ago, actually, I just got the bathroom redone.
Okay.
And I redid the kitchen myself. I painted the cabinets, redid that. So it made a little sweat equity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice area. It's right across from a retirement home. So it's not too crazy. There's a pool.
Okay.
I have a little dog that lives with me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, nice. It's great.
And it's mortgage-free.
It's mortgage-free, which is the most important thing, because now I make money and I can take risks, which is great. I can do whatever I want.
And you're still in your 20s after all of this.
Yeah, I'm only 26.
Wow. Yes, that's what's amazing.
Yeah, that was 4 or 5 years ago. And the funny thing is, I was talking to one of my friends, and they're like, wow, you have such a great life. And it's great, but there's a lot of other things that I can do now, like buying a single family home with cash or starting a business and things like that I want to do. It's just always chasing the carrot, never feeling like I made it, I did this. It's not about that,
So let me, before we end, so you talk about all of this and you share this on your blog. Let's give everybody the link to your blog so that if they want to follow up with you and kind of learn go into a little bit more detail about your 5 steps and your affirmations, what is the link to your blog?
Yeah, it's youngadultsurvivalguide.com. And if you're not a young adult, it's okay.
It's okay. Because
there's still a budget template. My big thing is that millennials get a bad rap a lot of the time.
Uh-huh.
And so I wanted to put out there that there's a millennial who's doing the right stuff. And I have a lot of followers that are millennials, and they're trying to get out of debt.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And they're doing all the right stuff. It's not just entitled free loafers on their mom's couch.
Exactly. Well, can I ask you this? And I don't know that I did, but did you ever say what your why was? Like you tell people like they need to know their why to get out. What was your why?
Absolutely. So my why is because I love people, and I really realized that I genuinely love people. Like I love talking with people, and I love helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the next step was I wanted to get out of debt so that way I can love on people. So I started my blog, and majority of the stuff on there is free because I wanted to show people that there's someone that's going to help them get to this. And I have tons of contact stuff on there. So really it's just to show love to people and show them that, you know, you can do this too. My story, like you said, it's nothing crazy. It's not, I didn't hit it big on a stock. I didn't start a business and make millions. It's just, I figured it out and I grinded.